Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyari Satarine
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Srinivasani Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, today I want to just first of all, test if you can all hear everything. Olga, is it okay? Moshe? Yes, everyone of you can hear. Is it loud enough? Yes? Moshe? Pilotin? Yes. Good. Today I want to talk on the fifth principle of surrender. For our for the devotees and guests who are today the first time here in the evening, I want to just tell you what we have been doing for the last evenings. We have gone through the principles of surrender. Krishna Kaje in the Bhagavad Gita that for the surrendered soul he becomes the swift deliverer. Oh yes, he becomes the swift deliverer from the ocean of material existence. So we thought it is interesting for all our guests and our devotees to get some more background information on the principles of surrender. What does it mean to be a surrendered soul? What is the activity of a surrendered soul? So there are six such principles, and today we will discuss the fifth of it. So that we can tomorrow finish the whole seminar tomorrow morning, if you are interested to come. This evening is Goptritve Varanam. It means to accept the Lord as one's protector and master. A devotee who is in this material world understands that he has fallen away from the shelter of the Supreme Lord, and his only desire really is to become again reconnected to Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays in this connection, Ayi nanda tanuya kinkarang patitang mam vishamed bhavam budo kripaya tava parapankaja sthita duli sadrisham vichintaya. In other words, he says, my dear Lord, somehow or other, I have fallen from your lotus feet, I have fallen from the spiritual world. Now, please be causelessly merciful upon me, and again take me back to you, and fix me as one of the atom, one of the dust particles on your lotus feet. See, when a person walks, there will be dust on his feet. So, this dust is not very important. It's just there. But nevertheless, although the dust is so unimportant, it is still very much attached to the feet. So in the same way, a devotee feels himself unimportant, but nevertheless hopes to be intimately connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what a devotee really desires in this life. A devotee can understand that in this material world, he's often forced to act against his will. Like today, I talked to one devotee. He said, it sometimes so goes so fast, you know, from the to come from the sane platform of consciousness to the disturbed state of consciousness. This is so because by our nature we are what in Sanskrit is called tatashta shakti. That means we are either under the influence of the material energy or we are under the influence of the spiritual energy. And this fact can be perceived by everyone every day, maybe every hour. You are either under Krishna's protection in full Krishna consciousness or in some sort of Krishna consciousness, or you can be totally sprishan, isn't it? Sprishan even in this even in the temple life. Today I was see, sometimes devotees think they can run away from the material energy by just hiding in the temple. But it's not possible. Material energy or Maya, illusion, can even come in the temple. She's a pure devotee of Krishna. We may not like her, but Krishna likes her because she does a very important job for him. So, a devotee understands that he really has to make a constant endeavor in this lifetime to separate between Maya and Krishna. Every moment we have to do this. So the devotee prays in this connection. Here's a very nice prayer which I want to read to you. O Supreme Soul, for time immemorial in this material world, I have been tormented with sin, stung with remorse, and constantly harassed by my six insatiable enemies. This means, since time immemorial, you have done something wrong. Since so long time, you always did mistakes. And after the mistakes, you felt like, oh, Ishminite, oh, sorry, why did I have to do this? Do you know this feeling? You do something, and then after it, you just feel so much tormented. The consequences of these activities are giving you trouble, in other words. So the devotee therefore says, my dear Lord, please, now where I am before you, protect me that I don't do any nonsense again, and then I have to suffer. Don't think this is not true for someone engaged in devotional service. Even in devotional service, you can make mistakes and fall back. Yes, it is even possible to become an animal again. Look at Maharaj Bharata, who left his kingdom behind, who went into the Shumi, and in the Shumi he began to meditate. And he somehow developed an unnatural attraction for a Jalenka, isn't it? Yes. Because of this unnatural affection for the Jalenka, he was, when it was time to him to change the body, he was giving up his body, and he was born in the womb of another Jalenka. Yes. In one hill, in the Gandhamadana Shumi forest, there he was taking his birth as a Jalenka. But by Krishna's mercy, he could remember his past, and therefore he came back to the association of sadhus, even in this body of the deer. It can happen. Once, Srila Prabhupada, it was in Los Angeles, met one of these fallen souls. He was going out from the temple, and just when he was going out, a cat came and went around his lotus feet and then went another way. This happened for 6 days. Always when Prabhupada left the temple, the same cat came and just meow, meow, meowed around the lotus feet of Prabhupada. Then one day the cat didn't come any longer. And devotees found the cat dead. You know, a car had rolled over it. So, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what was this cat? Because it was very special that the machka always went around the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada kaje, this cat was a fallen disciple. He was once a disciple, and then he must have done some glupas, some nonsense, and as a result he had fallen from the human form of life into the cat species. Must have been some heavy activities that this cyber must have done. So it is possible to fall from this human form of life and go into a lower life form. Sometimes people do not like to hear this concept. They want to hear that everything progresses. They dream like everything can only become better. But this is a very naive conclusion. It can become better, but if you are not careful, it can also become worse. A devotee, therefore, is very, very careful to always be attentive that the material energy, that Maya, does not begin to control him again. A devotee says, "Oh, my dear Lord, so long I have obeyed the unending wicked dictates of lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion and hatred." In other words, I have acted under the masters of lust. I have acted under the master of gnev. I have acted under the master of madness, and so on and so forth. But they have never actually been merciful with me. They never said, "All right, you have served well, my dear boy or my dear girl. now you can have some holidays from us. No. They always came back again and again to ask for more shluchba and for more attention. So, then the devotee says, now my dear Lord, I'm leaving these false masters behind. I have found my shelter in you. I am surrendered wholly under your lotus feet, which are the abode of fearlessness. Please now engage me as your personal servitor. This is... This is what a devotee feels. He feels actually ashamed for his past life before he came to Krishna consciousness. He does not think it was very, very nice what he did. See, in material consciousness, we always think the past was very nice and the future will be also very nice. Do you know this? Oh, when I was young, everything was good. The ökonomická situation was dobro. And in the future everything will be nice. The summer will not be so hot. This will be the last hot summer. The next is with pleasant rain and so on. But, this is... So a devotee, what I wanted to say, a devotee is free from this illusion. He doesn't think his past was very good. He understood, I was driven by my slave drivers. Slave drivers, Srinivas, you know? Okay, let us have faith in Srinivas. So, the devotee understands. I want to be at peace now, finally, from these slave drivers. I think I have once given an example in this connection. Can you imagine the situation that you want to do some work and every time you want to concentrate, the telephone is ringing? Do you know this? It's like this when I come back to Heidelberg. When the world finds out that I'm in Heidelberg, the telephone is running constantly. You know, you want to eat, or you want to sleep, or you want to go and take a shower, all the time. You can never do anything. It's terrible. It makes you crazy. Sometimes it happens when you sit in the office and you want to do something in the office. Have you noticed, Advavi?
Yes.
It's always... And you always have to answer the phone. This is how material life is. You want to concentrate, but all the time some new ideas come. Some new demand comes of the mind and of the senses. All the time. Just so heavy. They never give peace. Sometimes in material life we think, oh, if I fulfill a desire, moijelia, if I fulfill it, then I will have peace. You know, young devotees think this when the Sunday feast comes. Okay, now I eat as much as I want. I don't care about health regulations. Let me just eat and then I will forget about eating and being greedy for eating. Do you know this, David? This mood. And then one eats on the Sunday feast. One just eats a mountain of prasadam and then steals all the simplies from Madan Gopal's plate. but next Sunday the same situation is there. You cannot stop desires by fulfilling them. It just doesn't work. You have to forget about them. That's the best. So, a devotee, he wants to be undisturbed, and that means he wants to be undisturbed by desires. And the only possible way to reach that is that you begin to desire for Krishna. You have to start giving up your own desires and desire for Krishna. Like, my dear, you have to desire, "My dear Lord, I want to do what is good for you." This is the only recipe to become free from desires. You must actually become convinced, "My dear Lord, I will finally surrender and do what is in your interest." This is really, I'm trying to speak from realization. See, in my own life of devotional service, I am so creative. I have about 100 projects on which I'm working at the same time. And I can never, ever do them all. Every day, I'm just thinking, what Brahma has created such small days. They should be 10 times as long. But what can you do in one day? It's just so little. It's just so unsatisfying. But then at the end of the day, I have to say, well, I may have these plans, but Krishna had another plan today. 4 hours we were on TV today, then preaching to several devotees, then don't know what I all did, reading about Krishna, praying to Krishna. This was my day, and still I have 80 projects which I have not finished today. But it was Krishna had another plan, so one has to surrender to the plan of Krishna. This is the best. Dear Prabhus, dear guests, dear Matajis, dear children, please understand this point. You will never be able to satisfy your own desires. You have to look for what is the desire of Krishna and do that. Then you are satisfied. So I want to make one more point. So, a devotee knows that this stage which I was just explaining, that one wants to make his desire identical with the desire of Krishna, or better, one wants to make the desire of Krishna his own desire. It's not so easy. A devotee prays, "I'm not religious, I do not know the nature of the soul, nor have I any devotion for your lotus feet. Therefore, I have nothing. I have nothing which is good. And I have no other shelter. This is my condition. What to do? I think I have to surrender." Devotee knows, finally, at the, let us say, at the end list of his activities, after he has planned so many things, the only thing left is really to surrender unto the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is as much as I want to explain on this principle today. Hare Krishna. I do not really know. Can you still grasp what I'm trying to relate to you? It's maybe sometimes difficult because it's always on the point of surrender and the mind doesn't want to hear any longer about it. Or you can still hear Nita-chan? No problem? Well, you have to say no problem. Really? No problem. Why don't you surrender then? No, it's almost a rhetorical question. It's not a question to Dita-chan. When we know what is best for us, we cannot always do it. We lack the snaga to do it. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, by what force are we driven to act helplessly, almost against our will? And Shri Krishna Kaje, it is because of lusty desires. Lusty desires means we want to be the enjoyers. Now, there is one very important point to understand for someone who wants to surrender. It is that outside of Krishna, it is not possible for us to find any pleasure. We have to live in Krishna. When we work, when we sleep, when we eat, we have to always live in Krishna. What this means is, we have to live in Krishna consciousness. I want to tell you a nice little story from the Upanishads. Once, there was it's a very interesting story. The mind and the hands and the feet made a revolution. They said, we are always working to get some food to eat, and this lunch stomacho, this lazy belly in the middle, it's just enjoying. It's just sitting there and eating. We're gonna have a revolution. So they made the revolution. That means they were just sitting there and not doing anything. Now, after a few days, the mind saw how the hand was trying to enjoy a potato. You know, it was just mashing the potato. And the mind said, hey, what are you doing? I am hungry, said the and if I don't get something, I will just starve. Oh, said the mind. I am also very slobby. If there is not soon some food, then this will be a bigger drama. Oh, said the legs. The mind said, I'm trying to forget about eating, but all what I can do is to think of eat. Then the legs said, we are so weak, we can't even move one more meter. So in this way, they felt great pain, until finally the stomacho, the belly said, if I may say, you really give to yourself. And this is actually the principle of Krishna consciousness. One understands that just by serving Krishna, all other needs are taken care of. This is actually called Shraddha, or faith in Krishna consciousness. If you do not have this faith, it is sometimes quite difficult to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. A devotee, in other words, who wants to accept Krishna as his master, has to understand, just by satisfying him, I will be satisfied. This is a very important principle in Krishna consciousness. We cannot find satisfaction outside of the satisfaction of Krishna. The soul is made in such a way that only if Krishna is satisfied by her activities, then pleasure can be found. This is a lesson which each one of us has to make in his life or her life. It's sometimes a heavy lesson, because one just doesn't want to understand, or it is just seeming to be too difficult to understand. But if we surrender, at least in theory, to this principle, then and only then we can actually be happy. So Hare Krishna, I want to talk today a little shorter than I do usually. Do you have any questions regarding this subject or other subjects which we have discussed so far? Yeah.
She's often doing services with some kind of anxiety, you know, and she's chanting without eagerness, you know. So she asks what can be done about it.
Well, you have to understand that to become a happy Krishna conscious devotee, you have to base your activities on good chanting. You have to become a beggar at the lotus feet of the holy name. Krishna consciousness comes from the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Throughout our lives, we therefore have to make a constant endeavor to improve the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you want to make any advancement in Krishna consciousness, your chanting will be the cause of that advancement. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna gives us a tip. He says, wherever the mind wanders due to its restless nature, from there one must take the mind back with determination. When you sit down and chant your rounds, you must be determined to bring your mind to hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sometimes we are unfortunately so much under the control of our mind that we allow the mind to just run and run and run and run. But a determined devotee practices mind control by bringing the mind certainly back to wherever it runs to. You have to make this endeavor. You have to make this practical work. This is yoga in practice. to bring the mind back to where it goes. Have you ever tried to do this? Sometimes, I think, isn't it? You don't look very convincing. This is really the principle which we have to learn. I always, when my mind goes wild, well, it doesn't go so wild, but, you know, just imagine yourself like this. Now we have the temple, and we have Bhakta Jalenko, the brother of Anandini. He's watching the temple right now, that no one who is not authorized can come into the temple. We are totally safe now. Jalenko is taking care. Jalenko is in control. So he will just watch, and if he says, sees any slouch, you know, trying to come into the temple, he says, no, Chekai. This is what the brother of Anandini's duty is today. So, this is also how you should chant. You should post your intelligence before your mind, and if you see that a foolish thought enters, yes, then you have to say, Chekai. Chekai, isn't it? Something like that. Chekai! So that he cannot enter any further. This is how your chanting will come to a very good practical platform. And then when you are in good Krishna consciousness, you lose your anxiety. You understand that everything what happens under the control of Krishna. Why should I worry? Moksha? Sorry, Moksha. Yes. Everything?
Only small part.
Mala. Yeah, good.
Only small part of this, and she doesn't know what to do to develop it.
You want to hear the answer? You really want to hear the answer? You need a Krishna conscious project. See, the mind of the ordinary person in Kali Yuga is rajasic. Rajasic means you want to know because it's new, and then it loses, then you think you have it under your control. It's like this also in Kali Yuga relationships. People become friends, and when they think they know the other one, then there is no magic any longer in the relationship, no fascinating things. But you have forgotten one thing, you don't know Krishna consciousness. You can never know Krishna. He's always new. But you have to find out, you have to see that. You always have to have a project. To give you a practical example, you are now a little more mature in your Krishna consciousness, you know a little bit about Krishna, and you do not do these activities which you used to do before, which are maybe, yes, done in total ignorance of spiritual life. Now you need to go to the next higher step. You are no longer a ghostie who can just be satisfied to come to some lectures and so on. You need a new challenge. This is what I mean with a new project. And you need something to work at. Krishna consciousness is total, is ever fresh and always new. And we have to do the task to translate Krishna consciousness in our life, and therefore have a new challenge. That's one reason why we accept a spiritual master. The spiritual master puts before us all these newer duties, new tasks, new things to surrender. He will give us instructions, and our first reaction is, impossible, I can't do that. But then, as we try to fulfill it, we overcome our own granitsas, and we come to newer dimensions in Krishna consciousness. This is a very important point now in your life. You should be worried, and I think you are, that, oh no, my taste is going. And if I don't have any taste for Krishna consciousness, then I might look for taste somewhere else in the material jivot. So you have to have a project in your life, something what you do for Krishna. Maybe also some work at your own level of advancement, you know, something which you can do to improve your Krishna consciousness. Certain things, like certain forms, maybe there's something which is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness in your life, an obstacle. Obstacle means? Replica. This thing, a replica or some obstacle, and you can work at removing this obstacle. Just please understand, there is the eternal spiritual world which is waiting for you, and you are here like a mraf, you know, in the material world, more or less being separated from Krishna. Also, if you are in this situation, you should talk with devotees who are more advanced than you, and they will be able to give you many personal tips. Sometimes we need personal tips, and not just a principle. But this is a very important point in your life. It happens to every beginner in Krishna consciousness, and it happens also, you will be amazed to hear, for devotees who are in the movement for quite some time. If they do not always purposefully make projects in their life, Krishna conscious projects, zeals. A person without a zeal is a dead person. He won't move. So now you know already something about Krishna consciousness. Okay, now you're no longer a guest. Move on to the next stage. Do something for Krishna. You will also notice, you have heard so many informations now Your head is full, but still there is no taste in your heart. You have to also do some service. Active service for Krishna will help you to digest the knowledge and transform the knowledge into duhone snaga. Just like when you eat, huh? If you cannot digest what you eat, then you will be weak. To give you an example which I have often given, have you ever heard about people who have worms in their intestines? Creamy, huh? Worm is creamy? Glisty, yes, the glisty. When you have a glisty, you can eat, but the glisty eats everything, and you won't have any strength. So sometimes it's like this, we hear about Krishna consciousness, but we maintain material desires, and these desires are like glisties, and they eat everything away, and we don't get any strength. I know when I was a child, I had these glisties. Ooh, long glisties. No, I ate like 20 children, but you can't get anything out of it. That may be a reason. Maybe you have glisties. Ich winite. I know it's a heavy example. Okay, or for now, huh? But please try it. So my answer, to make it very short, is you need a project, a new challenge, something new, a zeal, you need to do slujba, service for Krishna, and you need to remove the glisties. 3-point program. I'm sorry that I'm speaking so bluntly. I have to explain this because it's sometimes difficult for our ghosties to listen to me. The reason why I'm telling these things so heavily is because it is a scandal. No, it is very dangerous if someone is already attracted, but due to Maya's arrangement, he gets covered over, and he cannot take full advantage of this wonderful Krishna consciousness. It's something we must be worried about. You have come so close, so now please go on. This is a very rare chance that in this age, which is so materialistic, someone has come so far as to be enthusiastic for and to be feel attracted. So, yes, Molim?
We heard from senior devotees when we asked the lessons from them or from the spiritual masters that we also should know how to accept those lessons. Say something.
Yes, once there was a man inside a brunar. And he was imprisoned in the brunar. So he screamed for help. And there was a man who handed down the rope to him. So then the man in the brunar, he didn't take the rope, but But he said, please help me to catch the rope. You follow? So sometimes we are in a situation where we need help and the devotees tell us what to do, but then we are not taking this mercy. It means we are not accepting and following. Like the man in the Bruna who was handed the rope but who didn't take the initiative, just capture the rope and take it up. Mangsi, our comic strip writer, Krishna conscious comic strip writer, has made a comics in this connection, and you can read it. It's about a man in the desert. Very interesting comics. Isn't it? Krishna art production. You have to take the rope. So, yes, Maharaji. That we don't fall.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said, that there is one principle in Krishna consciousness which will make us Krishna conscious. It is the eagerness. Now you might say, oh, I'm very eager. I want to become Krishna conscious. But no, it is said, even after many birth and death, this eagerness cannot be had. Then it is somewhere, to be obtained. Then you have to immediately take it. So this eagerness will protect you against all temptations which come in your life. When you are eager to become Krishna conscious, then nothing in the world can stop you. Society can't stop you. The economic situation cannot stop you. In fact, you will see, if you are eager to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will make all the arrangements which you need to reach your goal to become Krishna conscious. So this eagerness has to be somehow developed in our lives. My personal conviction is that a devotee in the movement for Krishna consciousness is trained to develop this eagerness. If a devotee understands his life in this way, there is no problem. In other words, so many things happen, sometimes ups and sometimes downs, they happen in one's life. The whole explanation is that at the end you say, my dear Krishna, please take me to your lotus feet. Isn't it? Every one of us has to pass tests. And the desire or the end result of these tests is that you become so eager to finally stop the material life and surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. Do you have this experience sometimes that you're becoming more eager than other times? Sometimes one really wants to end this material life and become Krishna conscious. Or, no? Da, ne, middle. That is what Krishna constantly wants to help us to come to this level. Okay? Yes?
It's regarding the point that we are not the doer.
We are not the doer.
Yes.
Sometimes
on the street, especially in the marathon time, we get the mercy from spiritual maestro and amazing things are happening. We can really push, give every energy.
Yeah.
Which we have many hours and very intensely. But in a lot of time, I can see in my case, when it's not like that, when it's tough, and then I can see that I practically gave only some part of energy. For example, 20-30% from energy. I should do also when Krishna gave and books are going out, I should also act when it's difficult, when there are only some small result.
Yeah.
So what should be done to always I can put all energy, because when I keep the energy, it's not good. I can feel also that.
Please explain in the Devian language.
Loud. Čitao sam nekad naročito za vrijeme maratona Sankirtana dobio milost duhovnog učitelja Krišna, onda nevjerojatne stvari se dešavaju i jako puno knjiga se deli. Onda smo u stanju da jako puno energije ulažemo, znači što dobijemo od Krišna. Međutim, u većini slučaja kada nije tako lako, kada je teško, zapravo kada su rezultati jako mali, onda ukočimo jednostavno, ne damo, damo samo 1% energije, ne damo sve ono koliko bi trebalo.
See, we sometimes make the mistake that we think our devotion can be measured by the result of the devotion. We think, oh, I distributed 100 books. It means I was very surrendered. And when we, I gave all my energy, and if we distribute only 20 books, we think something was wrong. But Prabhupada said, this is not how you can measure. You just give whatever energy you have to Krishna, and Krishna will expand that. But the result, that is Krishna's thing. You cannot influence the result. Sometimes with a lot of energy, you're distributing little. And sometimes with little energy, you distribute much. It's under Krishna's control. Now, one thing which I wanted to make about energy, for everything which happens in this world, energy is required. For instance, the fan turns all the time. There is a certain kind of energy required, that is electrical energy. Or our devotee guest has moved his body. That's energy. Or today I was working for 4 hours with the TV. That was energy. I'm feeling tired, mentally exhausted. It was mental energy. Also for devotional service we need energy. What kind of energy is this? Electrical energy? Physical energy? Mental energy? No. duchovné energie. Right?